Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I am Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It's the best time of the week because we are welcoming in Rusty Mantell, co-host of The Steakhouse, which kicks off at 9 today, co-owner and publisher of Dogs HQ. And our conversation with Rusty is brought to you by Orchard, the smarter, faster, hassle-free way to buy and sell your home. Rusty, did I see your posting that you're having the Kirby Smart on today?
We're going to have Kirby Smart on this morning, and he will be talking about Charlotte 49ers.
I was going to say, man. Hey, can't wait to hear what he's got to say about that matchup with Tech.
When you ask for favors to do shows, we got a big game this week. Could I touch on one subject? I was listening to y'all coming in about, like, you know, talking about Darnell Washington and all that
stuff.
I could really spend the next 2 hours on Darnell Washington. I think for driver's license, it should be like NFL Combine.
Yeah.
You come in with your shoes off. Let's get a real height
man
for everybody.
Yeah, no thanks. I'm not sure I'm signing up for that.
I promise you this. If we did NFL Combine real weight, men, women, everybody, there would be no American males that are 5'11".
Oh, there's no doubt. No, the 5'11 doesn't exist.
I tell my daughters, if a guy tells you he's 5'11", you're out.
He's lying.
That he is 5'9
he's
and a quarter.
He's lying.
There's no red-blooded American male that's 5'11 walking around.
Nope, there really isn't, man. But so you brought up Darnell Washington. Like, what was that recruitment like to Georgia? What did he weigh? Like, what do you think that when you see 260 listed next to his name, what's your thought process?
That's the ninth grade Darnell Washington.
Well, and you have a photo up of him in the huddle. Photo? Oh, my God. If you don't see this, go at Rusty Mansell _ to see the photo.
I took that picture. Look at Brock Bowers beside him.
I know.
You don't understand how big he is until Brock Bowers looks like a fourth grader.
Yeah.
Like, he was literally – I kept thinking the whole time. One day I'll tell the story. Tate Ratledge was out running routes as an eighth grader at tight end. I looked at him. I said, "Son, you can quit running routes right now." And I'm telling you right now, Tate Ratledge.
I had that conversation
before. He
talked
to me for 2 years. Like, he was so pissed, and now he laughs about it. I never thought Darnell Washington was ever. I thought the whole time that Georgia was going. All they did at Georgia was inline attach him.
Yeah,
they had Brock Bowers in the slot.
Yeah, of course.
They had a tight end.
Worked out well for him.
But this guy's 6'7" and a half. He played about 280, 285. Mike, let me ask you this. When you played Georgia in 21 and 22, they would attach him to Broderick Jones. Oh, by the way, who's the starting left tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, I was going to say that worked out well.
You think they didn't get some wide zone over there with those two guys and still in the edge?
Wide zone?
Yeah.
I'm thinking some tray blocks on some power load, everything.
But I will say, I knew he was 3'11". I heard that he is exploring. My phone's blowing up because of the 5'11 comment. And the guys that are texting me right now are definitely they're 5'10" and a half that are faking. I'm not going to call you out, but I just had like three texts come in. I'll say there's some conversations. I think he understands long-term, can he get there? Because if he's 3'11 now, Mike, he could play easily at 325 at 6'7" and a half. And do you wait on him because you're going to pay him a second contract at some point as a tight end, which is different money than a second contract as a right tackle.
It definitely is. And it goes back to the Jimmy Graham conversation for all those years ago where Jimmy was like, I play wide receiver. Like when your contract comes, I play wide receiver, by the way.
Yes.
I'm not attached to the line. No. I think it's a lot of fun. I do want to get into the Georgia Bulldogs. I want to talk about last weekend, but I got to throw this out. I threw this out on Twitter yesterday, and I got to hit you with it right off the top.
Yeah.
All right. You got three rivalry games coming up for the top three teams. Well, the top four teams in the SEC right now. Georgia being one of them. Obviously, that's not an SEC game. Bama's going to play Auburn. Texas A&M's going to play Texas. A lot of things left to be kind of shake out. I asked the question on Twitter yesterday. If Bama and Texas A&M met in the SEC title game, and Bama were to win and be an 11-2 SEC champ, and Texas A&M were to lose and be a 12-1 runner-up, and Georgia were in an 11-1 but didn't go, how do you rank those three teams for the postseason?
I think Georgia's played a tougher schedule than Texas
A&M.
I agree. Yeah.
I'm just not sure that A&M gets dropped.
I don't know, man, because at some point Georgia's their fourth, and if Alabama beats both teams, I think to me you go back to, okay, what's the strength of schedule?
Yeah,
I think Georgia's playing that now.
Before the Georgia fans come for me, I just said yesterday that they're going to win the national title. So don't think that I'm trying to question them. Okay, I don't need all that smoke from all the Rusty fans. Okay,
what's crazy is, do I think Ohio State's the best team in the country? I do, Mike. I haven't seen Ohio State play since they played Texas.
Exactly.
I haven't seen one snap. They got a hell of a game this weekend.
Yep.
They play Rutgers.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about the other day. That the Big Ten schedule. Indiana played Oregon. That's it. The rest of it's garbage.
I think Ohio State. Everybody I talk to is like, man, they are freaking loaded. They got DNs again. They've got this. They've got that. I just don't know, man. This is going to make it all so much more want to watch. Indiana game will be the first time they've been punched in the mouth in a long time. We'll see.
Indiana can punch too.
It will punch you in the mouth.
Well, saw Michigan play earlier in the year, and they're absolutely awful.
They're
7-2, and they're in the top 25 of the college football playoff. And I'm sitting there going, "What?
Yep.
I'd take 3-8 Florida over them right now." Speaking of which,
of who?
Florida. What?
He always sneaks one in, doesn't he?
Well, I sneak it in because, hey.
I was about to say that.
He can't help it, man. He can't help it.
Well.
Let's talk about the Saints linebackers.
Maybe I would. Pete Werner and DeMario Davis are both studs.
And they both played well against the Falcons. I heard you this morning. I listen.
See, I know you do.
I
know you do.
I support.
Still don't bring me my biscuit, though. All three reported it. So, you should have the info on this. Yeah. John Sumrall. He's going to interview, and then all of a sudden he's not.
Yep.
And then there's the fact that Dan Mullen, the house Dan Mullen lived in, has now gone under contract right after Layla and Knox leave town. Just saying, Russ, what the hell is going on?
It's the wildest thing I've ever seen. You know, the fact that Lane thought they were going to sneak on a plane, even Lane, he was like, yeah, just pull up to that back one, and I'm going to let – You
Wear
know, it's like,
coat.
Just pull in the back. Nobody's going to follow that plane. Nobody's going to follow, oh, by the way, a former LSU player's jet. Nobody's going to follow that plane.
Yeah.
Leaving Baton Rouge to Oxford. Listen, I'm into business. FlightAware, I don't know if they sponsor a show. I'll give them a free one. Everybody watches FlightAware.
Everybody.
I mean, the people that care, they were camped out. So I saw a guy last night that said all he did was – soon as they scheduled that plane from Baton Rouge to Oxford, he had his coworker go to Oxford, and when the plane landed, they were trying to get any pictures. Now, obviously, Lane can control the narrative there,
sure,
because they're going to pull around. But that's how much they're going through this stuff. It's not team planes.
People
freaked out about that Florida plane. It had nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
you think they're going to fly them alligator plane into PDK?
Orange and blue plane.
No, now that this ain't Big Tex. You know, like back in the day, now it's the Texas plane pulls up a Longhorn, on the front.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there, man.
It's just weird, the Summerall thing to me. That's really
the
question.
I think the Summerall thing to me was either happened two ways. It leaked and it pissed him off, or whoever he's going put a stop to it.
I I'm going to go with the
ladder.
I hate to break it to a stake,
but he ain't staying. Sorry, stake.
I broke his heart last week. I'm talking about, you see those wipes right there? If those wouldn't have been Clorox wipes, I was going to have to give him one. But I did tell him this, Tulane, you know, there's a lot of people that say that Blake Baker would be the target there, the LSU DC, which would be a hell of a hire.
I think it would too. And he's got to be making north of $2 million down Problem there at
LSU. Problem is, the question there is, you're going to put your name on that program, and that's how you go back. And Tulane's been successful.
Yes, they have.
They've got enough NIL. Yep. They've hit on quarterbacks, and I think Tulane's is a great place to go.
I heard Tulane has a huge donor out of Atlanta.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Real quick,
I know one is writing a check down there right now.
There ain't
from 9 to 11 every day.
He's writing one in Athens right now, too. I do want to talk to you a little bit about the Texas game from last week, make sure we cover that. You were as excited on social media as I've seen you in a while over a victory.
I got it. Some Texas fans came at me a couple months ago, so I saved that.
You
saved it.
I saved it. And I want to ask you this because I'm going to see if you agree. I don't think Texas played bad.
They didn't.
I actually think Texas is one of the most improved teams in the country when I looked at the way they played against Georgia, which is crazy to say, and that's one of the reasons I was talking about Georgia winning a national title yesterday, because it's not like Arch Manning was just lost and not playing.
He didn't
play
bad. I'm telling you.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I was kind of taken aback. I'm like, this game is lopsided, and Texas ain't exactly playing some awful brand of football they didn't get, like when they played against Ohio State earlier in the year.
They had a couple of key drops.
Yes.
And what happens when you play a team, Georgia, when you're in that type of environment, everybody talks about the Tylan Taylor play you drop against Alabama to lose that game. When you lose a game like that, the team that loses always goes back to those three or four plays.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I know how that works. My thing is, it was 14-10. You had 11 drives. You only scored on a short field. They had a 14-play drive to open.
Good point.
They had a 14-play drive to open. Georgia holds. It's 3-0. Then you have 9 other possessions. You don't score. And then the only way you score is on a short field interception. So, to me, yes, I do think Texas up front was hell now.
Yeah, they were.
I was on the field pregame, and those two D linemen, those two tackles they got, oh, my God. I mean,
Jessies.
Dude.
They were some Jessies.
Lord, I was thinking there's no way Georgia's running the ball tonight, and they really had trouble.
Yeah.
But I do think it was interesting. Georgia used Colin Simmons' aggression against him. He ain't setting the edge.
That's what you do.
That dude's looking for sacks.
Can I – and I just
– And they ran
– I know you're going to agree with this. Can I just give a slight tip of the cap to Mike Bobo?
Dude, Mike Bobo –
The guy has been
Mike Bobo
all over
went
it.
Under center. What about the key fourth down? On that, you know what he went after? He went after Colin Simmons because what did he do? He didn't touch a back. He had a free release on that play. But I will tell you this, as far as just straight up dog coming to get you, you can look at him in that bend, and you're a left tackle. You better have your ass ready to move.
No, thank you.
Because he's coming.
I'm good.
But they did use that. Mike Bobo went under center. He went a lot of play action.
Yeah.
And he really used that aggression against him, especially in the second half.
Mike Bobo has not been a problem for Georgia this year. The Georgia fans that want to hate on Bobo, first off, I've never been a fan of the hatred of him.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd all due respect, and I can say this because he's my neighbor. I mean, he got Hudson Mateson and had one of his best years ever when them were there.
Yeah.
But you look at what he's done. I mean, he's been perfect for Gunner. I mean, he has absolutely almost made every right call with how to use Gunner Stockton and the offensive weapons that they have.
You know what doesn't get talked about enough? Georgia was in the transfer portal market last year, and Gunner never flinched. He stayed. You know who the two guys they went after? Was John Mateer and Fernando Mendoza. The John Mateer stuff didn't last long because Oklahoma hired his OC and it was
a wrap.
I
was going to say that.
But he was coming on a visit. Then they get Fernando Mendoza there, and it's all – he's in the office. All he's got to do is sign that offer, and he's there. And Gunner Stockton never freaking flinched.
Got to love that, man.
Never flinched. And there's no telling what Georgia had to throw at Mendoza because he was the top quarterback prospect, most people thought.
If he would have flinched, Kirby would have scheduled his team.
He would have.
Hey, schedule these guys.
You're talking about being on a heater now.
Let's go.
And a lot of people ask me why did he take that shot at Texas. maybe I'll ask him this morning. I don't think he took a shot at Texas. I think he took a shot of how do you win games like that, and his kids that are focused and physicality. I think
it was a message to his own locker room too.
I never took it.
The Texas fans were like, "Why'd he come at Sark?" And why? I was like, "I don't think he was saying, because he and Sark are friends. I don't think he went at Sark. I think he went at how do you win a game like this, and what's the culture like." And you don't win a game when kids are only worried because you got to be, you know, the physicality of that game. I think it got kind of – it is what it is.
You're spot on. But he didn't – first off, he didn't schedule Texas. Greg Sankey scheduled Texas for Georgia.
Yeah.
So that's a ridiculous thing. That's just Texas fans with their little rabbit ears thinking everything's about them.
Yeah.
The reality of the situation is I think he was talking about – I think Mike's right, the locker room for one, and also the more of the culture of college football today that there's – There's soft thought process in sticking with it.
And God, I would go to the grave with this one. He had a major, major prospect that everybody in the recruiting world would know who it was. And his parents basically said, there's too much physicality. He's going to be hurt here, and y'all are cussing too much. And Kirby said, guess what they do in the NFL? They hit and they cuss.
Wow.
But good luck to you.
Cussing
and listen, this kid was a super freak five star, but he's not going to bend or change for anybody. And that was that kid's playing and starting somewhere else, but it ain't at Georgia.
Well, we are so late, Rusty, but we're not going to get to talk to you next week, so I'm going to fall on the sword for this one. Georgia Tech, you feel good about that one?
I do, but I know that they've got a Terminator in Haynes King, mm-hmm. and this dude, if the term leave it all on the field. Like, they're going to carry that dude off. Like, they're going to have nothing left. Mm. And 2 years in a row, he's given Georgia absolute hell. If Georgia Tech don't play better on defense, Brent Key himself said he called his defense out. He had to tell them, you got to play better.
Got to.
It's not just a Georgia game. It's going to hurt them long term because this offense and Haynes King is just good. I mean, he's just a problem, man. And Georgia's going to have their hands full. C.J. Allen's not going to play next week. I don't think so. They got their hands full of that guy. But can you get enough stops? But Tech defensively, if I'm a Tech fan, I would worry, like, can we get any stops?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
It's going to be a good one. Yep. Rusty, thank you so much for coming in. That is the Rusty Mansell, co-owner and publisher of Dogs HQ. Of course, you can catch Rusty with Steak right here at 9. They are having Kirby Smart on today. Coming up, we're going to dive back into our Falcons-Saints matchup. How will our offense match up with their defense? It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. And this Sunday, the Falcons face the Saints in New Orleans. Make sure to check out Mike and Bo here on pregame. That starts at 2 with kickoff at 4:25. Of course, we know the big news right now. Michael Penix, his season is done. He's undergoing surgery for a partially torn ACL. Kirk Cousins will be stepping in. Now, we got to face the Saints this weekend. And we've kind of been talking more about Michael Penix today. However, we got to talk about these matchups with our offense, their defense.
Yeah.
What's kind of got your eyebrows raised? What are you a little bit nervous about? Or where could we take advantage?
That's a great question.
It's a loaded one.
I don't know. I don't know. To be honest, I don't know. I'm looking at their defensive front. A lot of good players. I mean, say what you want to about how we all feel about Chase Young. I think he's played a pretty good brand of football this year. I think Carl Granderson has been good. I think you always have to look out for Cameron Jordan. I mean, Godchall, the nose guard, there's ups and downs. Nathan Shepard's the ups and downs. Brian Brzee's ups and downs. So establishing the run is going to be imperative. Now, is their secondary good? Is Kool-Aid McKinstry and Quincy Riley and Alante Taylor, is that alarming for me? No. But what are we throwing to? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to look at that and say, oh, yeah, we should be able to target Kool-Aid McKinstry with who? Darnell Mooney? Like, that's not one I'm not going to put on the checklist on our side. So I think this has got to be Bijan hopefully making plays against a pretty good linebacker combination in Pete Warner and DeMario Davis. But we've got to be better up front and blocking some of these big guys that are going to be two-gap style players way more than we are. They skate down the line of scrimmage. We try to get into the backfield. They play different defense than we do at this point, and hopefully that pairs up with a good run game.
Their attacking is different, but they play very similar to what you see. Like, everybody's kind of going to that. I mean, we kind of call it like a bear type front, but with the five, you know, pulling up a linebacker like an edge or whatever. But look, you talk about their secondary real quick. I mean, they've racked up some pass interferences and some defensive holding calls.
Okay.
So they're not immune, and they're not getting the quarterback on the ground to the rate that we are. I mean, they've only got 21 sacks. They're 13 behind us, which doesn't sound like a lot, but in the reality of going from 2 to 21st in the league, it is, right? I just think it's very obtuse to say, well, just run the football. Oh, just run the football. Well, they're not good against the run. You do know that they understand that Drake London's out, right? And that Kirk Cousins is not his first start of the year, but essentially it's his first start because it feels now like everything is going to be tailored around him. I really don't feel like that game against the Dolphins was a game plan, right or wrong, completely tailored around Kirk. Like, I think it. Maybe I'm misremembering, but it kind of felt like they were trying to run still. I just think it's two different offenses when Kirk and Penix
are in. I would say that it definitely should be.
And it did not feel like it was a different offense. It felt like it was, this is what Penix has been running. This is what everybody's comfortable with. Now I feel more along the lines that they're going to tailor the offense. Why wouldn't you? Go back to maybe what you were doing early in the season last year, right? What was working? Well, and I brought up the holding and the pass interferences strictly for the fact that.
Kirk.
No, Raheem, you wait your turn. Is that, hey, get these guys running away so they become handsy, right? And use that to your advantage. Maybe get. I'm not opposed to going out there and maybe using the way the game will be ref to my advantage.
No doubt.
I don't think it's cheating. I think it's getting a competitive advantage, right? Like, do what we got to do. Win the damn game.
Got to.
And then you can, and then make jokes afterwards again that maybe will irritate people.
Well, and Raheem did speak to this yesterday, talking about how things will be different with Kirk in the game.
You know, obviously, you know, you do the things that Kirk's going to be able to do well. So we'll be able to go out there and tailor the thing around Kirk, tailor it around our offense around Kirk, all the things that we want to be able to do with him, some of the things he's done well in his past, some of the things he's done well with us. We'll be able to go out there and do all those things in order to go get a win. And Kirk, obviously, I have a big input in that, and we'll listen to him and take his input and be able to go out there and practice the things we need to get practice. So we'll definitely tailor his offense the rest of the way around Kirk Cousins.
I feel like just like twice in there, he said Kurt. You know what I mean?
There was a moment. I thought he said Kurt, too.
Bro, I'm so glad you brought that up because there was one he definitely said Kurt.
Definitely said
clear as day, Kurt.
Hey, here's what I want to also say. I want to believe you, Raheem. I really do. I want to believe that Zach's going, hey, we're going to tailor this thing. We're going to do what Kirk does. I think we saw a snippet of that last week. But I don't. I'm going to have to see it to believe it, man, to think that we're going to change what our offensive identity is under Zach Robinson with the pieces we have in place. I'm just going to have to see it. I want to believe, man. Make me a believer on Sunday, dude.
Kurt.
Yeah, Kurt. It's like he hammered the T, too.
Kurt. Yeah, we're all kind of Tyra Banks right now. We're all rooting for you, Raheem. We're all rooting for you. Well, tomorrow you can join Andy and Randy for a special broadcast of the Midday Show. It's live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. They're going to be enjoying all the food, drink, and scenic views while also gearing up for a weekend full of football and basketball. It's Andy and Randy tomorrow from 11 to 2 at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Coming up, Rysel is back in a Braves uniform, and the Hawks will take on the Spurs tonight. Plus, we've got a life of squid.
Is Keon Coleman on his way out in Buffalo? Sounds like it. Morning Show Sports Radio 99 The Game and
the Odyssey app. Sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift at 8:43. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bob Morgan, Dylan keeping us on track. And this hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. So the Braves decided to make some moves. Rysel Iglesias will be in a Braves uniform again. They signed him to a one-year, $16 million deal. They also acquired two-time Gold Glove winner Mauricio Dubon from the Astros for Nick Allen. They also acquired Ryan Rolison from the Colorado Rockies.
Is it fair to say that I am excited about the Iglesias signing if he's the setup man? Is that fair?
I'm not sure you're paying a setup man $16 million.
Yeah. I don't know that you are either, but I also don't know that I want him to be back in a closer's role this year. I mean, I don't know. I just, like, I want to be stoked about it. And he obviously had a great second half, and I'm sure he found something. He obviously did mechanically. I don't know. But, man, the first half where the games actually mattered, you felt like, and he came in and had, what, I don't know, six blown saves.
It was
rough.
Yeah.
It was rough to watch. And if you are healthy and you don't, you know, have the start that you had last year, and, you know, Walt Weiss is on all cylinders and the pitching staff is up to par throughout spring training, then I hate the thought of Rysel Iglesias having a rough start again. Now, there's a lot of moving parts to what I just said, but I find myself trying to talk myself into being excited about this move when I look at 1 year, $16 million.
Allow myself to introduce myself. Look, we're not like some media outlets that have to blow sunshine up every move that this organization makes. And I'm one that normally understands why they're doing things. At $16 million, it seems I understand what closers go for, but it seems a lot for a guy that when it felt like you needed it the most, he couldn't do anything. And I think every game situation has got pressure, but you know, early in the season, there were some blown saves that led to you being behind the eight ball and where you were, and kind of, and I'm not going to blame the whole season on Rizal Iglesias because I personally like him, but it doesn't excite me. Just feels like you're status quo in it, and you're rolling everything back out to kind of set up for next year.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
And I would, and look, the Dubon move, I think some people might say, well, that's kind of a Band-Aid. No, I think that's just a utility move. I think they thought that getting rid of him, or excuse me, trading Nick Allen for Dubon would kind of upgrade their utility fill-in guy because he can do more. Both are obviously Gold Glove caliber players. And Dubon's got a little slight, a little bit. It's like 20
batting average points better.
We were talking about the driver's license thing. It's like, yeah, I put 5.5. Am I 5.5? I mean, is that half inch really there? I don't know. And that's kind of what you see with where it's like 224 to 241 batting average. I mean, it's better, but is it really that much better? And I mean, I don't know if it's even noticeable.
Yeah.
But the reality is that they're still going to have to address that shortstop position. Nothing about these moves, you know, about the Dubon move says otherwise.
No, I agree with that too. And I'm just curious to see what else they do in the bullpen, what other options they'll have on the back end of that bullpen, and what they'll do as far as designated hitter goes. Is that something they just keep status quo and Drake Baldwin and, you know, Sean Murphy rotate through there, or whoever else needs a day off? I don't know. Like, but it does. I am starting to get that feeling like this roster is going to look very, like 99% similar to what it did last year. So we'll
Did you really think it was going to look a lot different? I'm curious. I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Okay,
I don't mean to hate.
New closer, new DH, new shortstop, new completely different manager. That was my thought press going into the offseason.
So,
and now we signed the bench coach. We don't have a short. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like I just like it's like okay.
Well it's new, but it's not.
Look,
new, but it's not.
That's
a great way to put it.
Walt seemingly does and can be. I mean, he's not Brian Snitker. He's not. You know, just because Bobby Cox, like Brian Snitker and Bobby Cox, seemed a lot alike, but they were completely different mannerisms.
Yeah, touche.
So there's that. I think you're still gonna have a different starting shortstop. I'm not sure if Marcell Ozuna is never coming back either. I'm not sure where that's at. I don't know anything,
man.
But I'm just not gonna sit here.
You don't want Ozuna back?
I just don't know that I'm gonna be excited about running back the exact same scenarios as we had last year.
But Mike, we only lost because of injuries.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Seems like Rizal Iglesias' save percentage and Marcell's batting average might have had something to do with it.
Yeah, but Marcell had the hip tear.
Yeah. So there's no way that could happen when he's 37.
Is he 37? I think he's only 35. Maybe he's 36.
I don't know, man. I'm not trying to be the glass half empty guy. I don't know. Like, give me something new to look at here.
It's like it's a different sport. It's a whole different Mike.
Marcelo's he's only 35. Mike, don't speak that man's life.
I told you.
What's he going to be next year? 36.
Actually, no, his birthday just passed. It was November 12th.
Yeah.
It's
be
not
a whole
because
year
if you remember, Allie, I actually had the same exact conversation about the Falcons going to next season where I'm like, surely we can't run it back with Michael Penix and needing to develop and all the same. Like, we can't have that. I can't do an entire offseason.
Yeah.
And then that's when he brought up the Deshaun Watson thing.
I thought I was going to
have to exit the room.
No.
What, you're going to need a guy to fill in for a couple of games. He's probably going to be on the market. He'll be essentially 18 months at that time from his second Achilles surgery in 20
Are you
months.
Talking about Sean Watson right now? Golly, dude. I thought you were about to go back into Marcelo Ozuna's thing. Don't do this to me.
You brought it up again,
so
he's going to take
man,
it.
No, man, we're not doing
I'm
that.
Just saying. I mean, look,
Allie, I'm the glass half full guy when it comes to Hawks.
The Gainesville Red Elephant coming home to save the team he was the ball boy for at least for four games. I mean, what?
Don't do this.
Mike, this was your fault this time. You gave him the bait to rage me.
You really did.
I'm not. I just had to remind Allie.
Look, it was Cleveland's fault, Deshaun's ineptitude at quarterback there. Zach Robinson can save him.
If you could see the look on Mike's face.
Tea time today.
First off,
you can't cancel it because it's through me. And I can go play with or without you. So you're just hurting yourself there. May or may not have more Deshaun Watson talking points at the 10:39 tee time.
I'm laughing at myself because I'm sitting there going, how many months into the season is Walt Weiss going to be called a retread? And we should have known from his previous coaching record that he was going to suck.
I'm sure there's one person on this radio station that called him a retread immediately. Retread and journeyman are like go-to words for some people. We are so close to our goal for the third annual Browngrass Charity Golf Classic. We are so freaking close. It's crazy that we are here again, and we're only, three, four days away.
Let's do it.
From that 10 a.m. tee time at Eagle Watch Golf Course. And, you know, we've got a plethora of partners, including Finley Roofing is our big guy. Mm-hmm. You've got Twin Peaks. You've got Window Nation, Batteries Plus. Aikens Ford, Echo Park Speedway, Mike.
Mickey D's,
yeah. McDonald's, Gunbroker.com, Peach.com, everybody. We Joe's Auto. Everybody, we got just a plethora, and it's all for a good cause.
Yes, it's for Pets for Vets. It's a charity that pairs our nation's heroes with trained working animals. I'm sorry. When I hear plethora, I think of Three Amigos. A plethora? Sorry. There are people that get that reference.
No.
I'm surprised Bo doesn't.
Actually, where do you think I got the word from? I mean, I was a huge fan of Three Amigos. You think I just learned? You think I opened up the dictionary for the letter P and was like, or encyclopedia and was like, plethora.
God, remind me in the show opening tomorrow.
It's a sweater.
Good for
El
you.
El Guapo.
Good for you.
El Guapo.
You got to hurry up and get through this. She's losing it, dude. She's on E.
We all know it helps Pets for Vets. That's the bottom line. Hey, what has 123 touchdowns and 48 interceptions and could be the Falcons quarterback to start the season next year?
I don't know. I'm not answering any of these questions.
Who is Deshaun Watson?
There you go, Dylan. And guess what? He could be and he could be throwing to a guy that currently wears number zero in Buffalo because Keon Coleman could be on his way out. He has been benched now for the third time by Sean McDermott, the second time this year or second game in a row. And basically, when asked about it, it was said kind of like this. Well, you know, mistakes keep happening, and they got to be better. And it's just Keon Coleman was a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, isn't he the one that was talking about the Burlington Coat Factory or something?
Yeah.
When he got drafted in his
press He was.
He's like, yeah, man, you go up and get them jackets. They have them for like $40.
Dude, it's weird to me because he's only been there 2 years. This is, his third year, I think?
I mean, dude, this goes back to exactly what I said about Michael Penix and a couple of other players. There comes a point in every NFL player's life where they sit there and go, the things I've been doing are not good enough. And that might be on the field, might be off the field. Sounds like it's off the field for him. Maybe both. But he's going to have that realization inside of his mind.
I just think, though, Keon Coleman's a bigger guy, bigger-bodied guy. Josh Allen, I mean, we're getting the red area. Just turn around and jump. I'm going to give you the ball. I just don't understand how it's not working on an offense with James Cook and Josh Allen and Dalton Kincaid.
You right now realize somebody's in their car going, I've been saying the same thing about Kyle Pitts. Mm. I don't understand.
I've been saying it about Kyle Pitts.
I know.
People fighting me about his potential.
There's your answer is my point. Your answer. The potential gets you fired. And luckily, they're in a good place at the quarterback position to where he can actually make the move to bench somebody that plays like that. Atlanta's not in that spot.
So if you're on Underdog and you're going higher or lower, do not do higher or lower stats on Keon Coleman.
All right. We've all lost it, so we got to go. Bo, Dylan, and myself, Allie Mack, thanks for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and don't forget to
pre-order your Deshaun Watson jersey for next season.
God!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.